Welcome to the Mind Blown Podcast, where curiosity leads and discoveries follow. I'm Melanie Avalon, biohacker, author, and health influencer. And I'm joined by Scott Immens, entrepreneur, health enthusiast, and seeker of the unknown. Together, we're here to take you on a journey to the very edges of science, technology, philosophy, history, and beyond. Did you know in the minute it takes to introduce this podcast, around 6 million Google searches will be conducted, and at the end of 90 minutes, the space station will have orbited completely around Earth? Did you know when you shuffle a deck of cards, chances are that combination has never been created before? Also, according to Einstein's theory of relativity, time doesn't pass at the same speed for everyone, depending on how fast you're moving. Or how about the idea of quantum superposition? That's that particles can actually be two places at once. So is this actually happening right here, right now? One last fun fact that actually inspired the genesis of this show. If you remember Tinkerbell dotting the I in the Walt Disney logo, that never happened. So on that note, get ready for our adventure on today's Mind Blown Podcast. Welcome back, cognitive connoisseurs, synapse surfers, and epiphany enthusiasts to the Mind Blown Podcast. I'm Melanie Avalon. I'm here with Scott Immens. Scott, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Melanie. How are you?
I am good. I am much looking forward to hearing all about a time in the world when I was not here.
This should be interesting. I'm going to really be interested in your response and reaction to the 80s. You know, even I, having lived through it, didn't realize how impactful that decade was. So it's going to be fun. Lots of historical stuff, but a lot of fun anecdotes as well.
I'll be really curious what from the 80s, because I grew up in the 90s, so I'm wondering what will carry over. I'm going to be curious what I do recognize, you know, what carried into my world, into my life.
I'm going to be very curious about that. And I think for the audience, if you're of this generation, you're going to love it. And if you're not, you're going to find it intriguing and I think sort of fascinating at the same time.
I'm confused though, because not to give away people's ages, but so do you identify as growing up in the 80s?
Yeah, because so graduated high school 89. So basically from 80 to, you know, it was like my formative years, you know?
Okay.
You're talking like fifth grade through high school.
Okay. I wonder why when I say like I grew up in the 90s, that's the equivalent of the 70s for you though. My early childhood.
My early childhood, yes. So I would, in the 70s, I was born in the early 70s. So, you know, I don't really count the 70s much because basically I was kind of just out of, you know, doing my own thing as a kid.
Okay. Yeah. So your 80s were my 2000s.
That's probably correct. Yes. Essentially. I mean, there was some bleed over from the 70s into the 80s, but primarily I identify like the 80s and then college years and, you know, beyond was the 90s. I love the 90s. I thought they were great.
I don't know why I'm like overanalyzing this because I still feel like I would pick the 90s, but maybe it's because I'm closer in age still to the 2000s. So like when I'm older, not that you're old, but when I'm older, maybe I'll more likely be like the 2000s rather than like the 90s. Am I making sense?
You're making sense.
Yeah. Okay. Well, before we jump into the decade stuff, do you have a mind-blowing fact to start us off with?
I do. Did you know that there is more than one dwarf planet in our solar system?
Like, so if you had asked me how many dwarf planets are in the solar system, literally, I have no idea. I didn't know that there was a famous one where you would say, did you know there's more than one? Does that, yeah.
Well, it's not just a planet. It's an interesting planet because where it's located, I had never really heard of it.
Wait. Solar system, you mean like, so beyond the planets here, right?
Well, that's the beauty of it. It's actually not that far out. It actually orbits between Mars and Jupiter. That's what's crazy. Like, you'd think that would be a bigger deal. That, hey, by the way, there's another planet that's circling in between Mars and Jupiter.
Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn. So in between there.
This dwarf planet is known as Ceres, spelled C-E-R-E-S. And it was discovered in 1801. So it goes around the sun every 4.6 Earth years. But what's crazy is they have discovered frozen water and water vapor in the air. So it has an atmosphere that comes from the ice.
Wait, so, but you said more than one. Are there other dwarf planets?
Remember, Pluto got downgraded to a dwarf. So, yeah, so Pluto is way out there.
Oh, so this is like on the level of Pluto.
Yes.
Like they're in the same camp.
They're in the same camp, but I'd never even heard of this planet.
Wait, when did they discover this series?
Yeah, so they discovered this water in 2015. And there are some scientists that believe it's our best chance of finding life outside of, I mean, inside the solar system. So kind of cool. Now, it's debatable. Some scientists believe that there's more viable planets, but other scientists think that this planet should be explored much more in depth.
Wow. That actually is very mind-blowing to me. I feel like I should have learned about this or heard about this.
Yeah, you'd think, because it's not like way out in the asteroid belt or so. It's not like doing a 30,000-year orbit. I mean, it's right between Mars and Jupiter, so it's kind of intriguing.
I'll give that a solid 9.
All right, cool.
And you were not feeling good about it.
Well, I had another one that I wasn't feeling good about. That's why I went with it. I've been saving this one up.
Oh, you switched.
I switched.
Well, mine is completely unrelated and random.
All right.
Did you know that platypuses sweat milk? I knew that was going to land with you.
You know, it's also, I mean, that's just bizarre. I need more details on this milk. Now, what's interesting before, I do want to hear this. I have actually multiple times looked up platypus for the show, like all the weird things it has and does and its poisonous little barbs. And so, but I was like, not good enough. But the fact that I didn't come across this milk thing.
I know, right? I thought I knew all the mind-blowing stuff about platypuses. And then I learned this and I was like, how did nobody mention this?
All right. Tell me about the milk.
Yeah. So they have mammary glands like humans, but they don't have nipples. And then the glands are just like in their skin. So they just sweat it out. They just like, it just gets on their skin.
Like their young eat this milk?
For nursing. Yeah.
That is so bizarre.
It just like comes out of them.
Are they a marsupial?
I think so. They're like, aren't they like all these? Let's see. What are they?
That is crazy.
They're a mammal. They're only one of 5 species of monotremes, which are mammals that lay eggs.
That is the weirdest animal.
They lay eggs, but they also produce milk to feed their young with no nipples. Milk seeps through pores in their skin.
So initially I was going to give you an 8, but all of these additional facts that support this milk sweat, I got to go with a solid 9. So it's a 9. It's a solid 9.
Yes. Oh, this is, oh, wow. I just got another good fun fact about them. Should we share it now?
Yeah.
When first discovered, scientists thought they were a hoax.
That I knew.
They thought someone had sewn a duck bill onto a beaver.
Yeah, that I knew, because when we had done the Bigfoot episode, I looked up like all the things people once thought were mythical, and the platypus like came to the top. It's like, you're making that up, a thing with a bill that lays eggs. Give me a break.
Venomous spurs. I think you talked about this. Did you talk about the venomous spurs on their hind legs? I know you just mentioned it right now, but did we talk about it before?
I might have mentioned it a while, like once in passing, but I can't remember.
And their duck bill can detect electrical signals from their prey.
Now you're at a 9.2. You want to keep going on this platypus? You might hit a 10.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's literally like a blend of all like the optimal things. It's like if you were constructing an animal, this would be like the science. This would be like the Frankenstein of animals.
This is Frankenstein. They eat worms, insect larvae, shrimp, and they scoop them up in their bill, and then they store them in their cheek pouches to be chewed later.
Wow.
Oh, man.
And I also didn't know, I don't even remember what you said, but they're one of only 5 of these species.
Monotremes.
I've never even heard of a monotreme.
Let's see what the other ones are. Rare and ancient group of mammals. Let's see. So they are the platypus, and then 4 species of echinoderms. I don't know. They're spiny anteaters, and there's four types of them.
Are they also in Australia?
They're covered in spines, and they use a long, sticky tongue to eat ants and termites. Yes, they are in, you said, are they also in?
Australia.
Where are they? Yes, and New Guinea. Stuff is going on in Australia.
What do you mean? What stuff?
Well, there's like platypuses and these guys.
So did I tell you I went to Australia?
Yeah. And you saw the spider?
I didn't see the spider, but I learned that you have to clack out your shoes before you put them on every morning. Because sometimes they climb in your shoe and boom, they bite you.
Oh my goodness. We used to do that when we grew up. I forgot about that process.
It's a process. There's so, like, everything in Australia wants to kill you. They got deadly jellyfish. They got deadly sharks. They got like five different deadly snakes. It's so many poisonous things on an island. It's insane.
And the people are so just like, it's all right.
It's all right, mate. No problem.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Okay. Yeah. Oh, here's something else. Monotremes are like living fossils. They diverged from the mammal family tree, the mammalian family tree, over 200 million years ago, retaining many reptilian features while still being mammals.
Yeah, that tracks. That totally tracks. So for the listeners that remember our little discussion on the drones, my videos are still there, and I sent them to Melanie. Melanie, what did you think of the video evidence?
Well, my first thought is you would make a good narrator for like a documentary. You're like... Now it's going to circle. Now it's going to go left. And as we see now, the drone is literally, it's like 10 minutes of footage of Scott narrating every second of it. It's crazy. One of them has like a green and red headlight, like headlights.
Yeah, they're not wing lights. They're like headlights. And did you see how much it was moving? Like a plane can't do that. Now, you probably couldn't hear it, but in the background, there's this low hum.
I did hear that. I was going to ask you if that was from them.
Yeah, so there's like a low hum that sounds like a really quiet airplane engine. Like if you would take a single plane engine, but like make it 10 times more quiet, that's sort of the noise it makes.
Oh, I didn't realize. Okay, wow. I was wondering if that was, but it seemed loud.
It wasn't that loud. Really, it wasn't really that loud. You had to listen carefully to hear it. Like I didn't even notice the sound until... I said, I was like really quiet for a moment. I'm like, wait, it's making a... Because at first I thought, oh, that's a plane engine. That was my first thought. But then I look at the height and it's like how it was going back and forth. I'm like, that can't be a plane because we have a small airport by us. And like I said, all my family are pilots. I've been in Cessnas and planes my whole life. It couldn't possibly have been a plane, especially at that elevation and especially with those turns it was doing and the lighting. It was crazy.
Yeah. Wild. I really did think it was going to be gone when you got your phone back, but...
Yeah, it was so funny. When I got my phone back, you were like, but what about the drone footage? I'm like, oh my God, I forgot to look.
Yeah, I really thought. I was like, it might be gone, but it's still there. Although, okay, my one thing I'm going to call you out on or ask you a question about, at one point you were like, you made a comment that you thought one of the drones was going away because it realized it was on camera.
Yeah, that could be a stretch, but it was like in this very specific pattern and then all of a sudden just took off. So, but I grant you that could just be conjecture. That's not accurate. But I will tell you what is accurate is they weren't planes and they weren't UFOs. They were drones and they weren't the kind you see kids flying. These were like the size of a car.
And it was you and your wife looking at it. It wasn't just you.
Yeah. And I thought, and I went out as a skeptic. I was like, you're crazy. These are planes. Like literally, I thought she was crazy. And then after like 15 minutes, I'm like, holy crap, these are drones. And that's what, then I went in, got the phone. Now they haven't been back for a while, but yeah.
Or since then.
They were back since then, but they haven't been around in at least a week.
Yeah. That's crazy. It's just weird to me that the government said they didn't know what they were. And then they said, oh, they're ours. That's just suspicious.
It's very suspicious. And then they're like, well, why don't you trust everybody? Well, because you keep doing really odd, suspicious things. Like, you know, they're ours. The FAA granted them access. Then you say they're doing, quote, research, but don't tell us what the research is. Like, the whole thing was just shady.
Yeah, we shall see.
All right. I have another fun, at the end of the podcast, I've got another fun little question for you.
Okay. Related to drones?
To Trekkies, Star Trek.
Okay. Well, Before we dive into today's topic, we do have this week's winner of my Avalon X Magnesium 8. And each week we pick a winner. And magnesium, friends, so many people are deficient. And I have made with Scott one of the best magnesiums on the market. It has 8 different forms of magnesium. It comes in glass bottles, no problematic fillers, all the things. And to enter to win, you can just write a review on Apple Podcasts. And each week we pick a winner. And by the way, we are coming up on reading all of the reviews. So that means A, if you have not heard your name, there is a good chance that you did win. So go back and listen to all the other episodes to find the one. And if not, write a review to enter to win. So this week's winner is NellyJC16, and the subject line is "Nothing but the best." And NellyJC16 says, "Melanie does nothing halfway. I know she will pour her heart and soul into every episode, just as she does with her other podcasts. Prepare to have your mind blown," with a red heart emoji. So, NellyJC16, thank you so much for your review. Please take a screenshot of it and send it to contact@mindblownshow.com, and we will send you a bottle of Avalon X Magnesium 8. Hi, friends. If you've been wanting to try my Avalon X Spirulina or are already obsessed like me and want a portable, travel-friendly version, we now have a mini size available. I am so excited about this. I am obsessed with spirulina because it is one of the most nutrient-dense foods on the planet. In fact, it is so nutrient-dense that NASA worked with it to help support the nutrition of the astronauts in space. It is a powerhouse. We're talking a complete vegan protein where a serving contains 625% of your daily vitamin B12. Yes, vegan B12, over 1,500% of your daily vitamin A, 100% of your hard-to-get vitamin K, and over half of your daily iron. And it's not just that. It also contains potent longevity compounds, things like glutathione, superoxide dismutase, CoQ10, GLA, and so much more. It's almost shocking how incredible spirulina is for your body. So much of our health and longevity involves meeting our nutrient status, and spirulina can help you do that. It supports energy, immunity, even beauty and detox. It took a long time to develop our spirulina because I was obsessive with getting the purest, highest quality spirulina out there. I searched high and low and found the perfect version of spirulina. It comes from the pristine, clean waters of Hawaii, from an extremely environmentally sustainable production facility, and it is purity tested to the max. Not only is it tested by the facility, we third-party tested it for over 70 pesticides, as well as heavy metals and mold. And the new mini version is so cute, so it's an amazing way to try it if you haven't tried it, or if you want to buy a smaller order, or if you want to travel with it, it's the way to go. It comes in beautiful glass bottles to help prevent leaching of plastics into ourselves and the environment. And by the way, it tastes amazing. Yes, I tasted so many different ones. You can get spirulina, including the large bag and this new mini size, at avalonx.us. Use the coupon code MelanieAvalon to get 10% off. And you can get text updates when you text AvalonX to 877-861-8318. And doing that will get you a one-time 20% off coupon code. You can also get email list updates at avalonx.us/email list. I can't wait for you guys to try this spirulina. Grab the mini version now. Use the coupon code MelanieAvalon for 10% off at avalonx.us. So, 80s.
So I've got this broken out into categories. We're going to start with historical events. So for those of you who don't know, Ronald Reagan was the president of the United States at the time, and he was the first president to have an assassination attempt on his life in the 80s, you know, since JFK. So I actually remember that vividly when he got shot, which led to the Brady Law, because Brady was the secret security guard who pushed him out of the way and took a bullet to the head, but he lived.
What's the Brady Law?
At that point, you didn't need to have any kind of background check for buying a gun. And so the Brady Law made it more difficult for people with criminal records or, you know, seedy past to purchase firearms.
Gotcha. You know what I did yesterday? Not the same, but involved government, I think, checks. I got my TSA pre-check.
Oh, nice. Is that where you just like, they just look at your face and you walk through?
Yeah, I think so. Makes it like, apparently makes it way faster.
So I love the convenience, but I got to tell you, I'm feeling a lot of Brave New World 1984 vibes.
From?
Just the amount of surveillance and data. Now everyone's got facial recognition. It's just getting a little, like, your face is recognized at the airport. You have to get your face scanned when you come. You don't even know it when you come back from, like, a trip overseas. You're facially scanned. It's getting a little creepy.
Yeah. I guess it's funny because I was thinking, like, oh, this was really easy to get. But I guess you're right. They're taking all of this biometric data. And, like, it was making me feel less safe because I was like, oh, anybody can just get this?
There's this cartoon once that I was reading, and it was these two guys saying, how are we going to get the American public to freely give up all of their biometric data? And then this guy comes along with the Apple iPhone and goes, we don't have to convince them. They're doing it through their phone. And they were like laughing about it, you know. I was like, that's kind of creepy. Back to 1980. So the other big thing with Ronald Reagan was that we were still in the Cold War. So the Soviet Union and America were still kind of battling back and forth. And you may have heard of Reaganomics was also taking place at that point, which was trickle-down economics.
What was that?
Basically, he gave tax breaks and deregulation to corporations so that, in his view, these deregulations would allow companies to operate faster, hire more people. The less taxes would allow them to give people more wages. So he thought, hey, if the big companies are making a ton of money, then it'll trickle down to the public.
Gotcha. When did the Cold War end?
So the Cold War basically ended in the 80s, and we'll get there in the timeline. But this is like 80 to 84, this what I just went through. In 81, there was a massive air traffic control tower strike. And this had, a huge implications. So President Reagan had a decisive, maneuver, and he fired 11,000 striking air traffic controllers who denied his return to work order and banning them from federal service for life.
Whoa.
Yeah. In 1981, the global pandemic of AIDS was formally identified. The first reported cases emerging in 1981. And back then, there was zero treatment for HIV, AIDS, and it killed over 40 million lives globally as of 2022. Now, interestingly enough, this led to the emergence of the LGBT community. Well, I shouldn't say the emergence of, they were a community already, but they were the ones that went down to Washington and marched on Washington to get medications to market faster, which created the new laws we now have, where the FDA used to take 3 to 5 years, and it was all federally funded. The LGBTQ community, plus other people, really marched in Washington over this, serious epidemic disease and the lack of, drugs that were getting to them. And so they struck a bargain, which required the FDA to review every drug that was submitted to them within a year. But there was a Prescription Drug User Fee Act known as PDUFA in the industry, and that changed it from federally funded dollars to pharmaceutical funded dollars. So when people say the FDA is in bed with pharma, part of the reason was to get the drugs to market sooner. So it was good and bad because now we do get drugs reviewed in a year, but there's also sort of this unspoken pressure about, well, we, the pharmaceutical company does a trial. They get the data. They don't send the raw data to the FDA. They then collate it, send that collated data that they've gone through, and then they send that to the FDA. So that's how it works now.
Wow. Yeah, that's a big, big shift.
Big shift. And then in 1986, Ronald Reagan also passed the amnesty law for vaccines, where vaccines could not be held liable. So you could not sue a vaccine manufacturer if you had a reaction.
Mm-hmm. That's a big one.
In 1986, the Space Shuttle Challenger also tragically exploded with teacher Christine McAuliffe aboard, and it was televised. I actually saw it happen live in history class because there was a teacher on board. All the schools were showing it in school, like, hey, look, a teacher is going into space. And 5 minutes after it exploded, they sent every kid, at least in my high school and many high schools across the country, to just send everybody home.
Yeah. And if listeners want to learn more about that, we talked a lot about it in the episode on like the astronauts and the history of NASA and everything.
Yes, we did.
Because remember, I have this false memory of seeing it And we decided at the end, it's probably because I saw a documentary that included footage from it.
Yes, I remember that. You were like, I could have sworn I saw it, but it turned out to be the documentary years later. Climate change and global warming first came on the scene in 88. In 89, the fall of the Berlin Wall.
Oh, we should have done a quiz. This is literally the only date in history I know. Ask me what day.
You know the actual day?
I do.
I don't even have the actual day.
You want to know why?
I'm going to guess because you were, I don't know, there or I don't know. You were at Thanksgiving dinner.
I was not alive then.
Oh, that's right.
And there's two reasons I know it.
Your dad was there.
No, in our house growing up in our media room. Okay, our media room, we had like movie posters. Like everything was very on point. Like we all got, everybody in the family got to pick a movie. Or I think we all got to pick two movies to be represented. So there was like 10 movie posters. I picked Phantom of the Opera and Lord of the Rings. We also had a frame picture of the Berlin Wall with the date of when it fell, which was also my birthday, but I wasn't born yet. November 9th, 1989.
That is correct.
My family is German, so.
Understandable. And a lot of people don't realize that there was a West and East Germany, right? And East Germany was basically Russia. And it was not a fun thing to get trapped on the other side of that wall. And there was actually a spy movie in the 80s that was super famous about a guy who gets, he was just like a kid in college and he gets wrapped up in this whole spy game and he ends up on the in East Berlin, the whole thing.
Yeah, my grandmother told us stories growing up because she was in Germany during all that. And it was wild. Of them trying to like get across the wall and stuff.
Yeah, they were desperately trying to get across and...
They went through Dresden, where we had relatives, and they like begged some of our relatives in Dresden to come with them, and then they wouldn't leave, and then Dresden got bombed like after that. It's crazy.
Well, that to answer your earlier question, that was the official symbolic moment of the end of the Cold War.
Okay. Oh, that so I know two dates. I mean, the same date, but I know two events, same event.
Now, another big sort of communist protest happened. You might remember this, where someone stood in front of a tank.
This is a Mandela effect one, right?
I think it is. Did he get run over or not, right?
Yeah.
I don't think he got run over, but my memory is he did not. But I do remember him, the tank would try to turn and he would like walk in front of the turn, then the tank would try to turn the other way and he would walk in front of it. And it was just this one guy with two bags of groceries in his hands, just standing in front of this tank. But it just like ignited this sort of, wow, like we got to fight for these people's rights. And nothing really changed, unfortunately, but it was a brave act and one that was sort of went down in history as like, wow, that was crazy.
Wow. Yeah.
And then there was also the Exxon Valdez oil spill in 1989.
Oh, is this what inspired Free Willy? I don't know. There's an oil spill in the beginning of that movie.
I didn't see Free Willy, so I'm going to have to take a pass on that. That's our historic island. I remember all of those things. A couple other interesting things was, you know, I remember Nike's coming out then. That was a big deal. Not that that's a historical sort of moment, but here's another one from my memory, which is in 1984, we dominated the Olympics, which were held here in the U.S. Russia did not come that year. And that was the Mary Lou Retton. Do you remember her?
No. Wait, were they in L.A.?
Yes.
Yeah, I think because they were USC. Some of the like housing was housing that was built for the Olympics. Some of the student housing now.
So Mary Lou Retton would be like the Simone Biles of her day. Like she was amazing on the pommel horse. I think she got one of the first 10s in history on the pommel horse. And then she was injured and kept, you know, going. And she won like 5 or 6 gold medals. And Carl Lewis was in those Olympics and he dominated like long jump, the 100 meter. Like he broke like, I don't know, 5 or 6 different records. People were going wild. It was amazing.
Okay, friends, I have some mind-blowing and scary facts about your skincare and makeup. Did you know that there's essentially no regulation of skincare and makeup in the US and that most skincare and makeup products are high in endocrine disruptors, which mess with your hormones? these are compounds which are linked to hormonal disruption, thyroid issues, fertility issues, autoimmune conditions, and even cancer. And they are rampant in our skincare and makeup. That's right. When you're putting on that skincare and makeup to supposedly support your skin and help it look better, you actually could be doing damage to your skin and your body and your health. It is a massive problem today. And ladies, if you're thinking of having children, these compounds actually pass through the placenta into the newborn, setting up our children with a toxic burden from birth. And these compounds can last in our system for years and years. In one study testing conventional lipsticks, for example, most were found to be high in lead. And the half-life of lead is up to 30 years. That means when you put on some conventional lipstick, 30 years later, maybe half of that lead has left your bones. There's also a legal loophole from the 1960s where companies can put whatever they want in products and don't have to tell you what it is. They just put it under the label fragrance. This is why safe skincare and makeup is so important to me, and I am so passionate about a company called Crunchy. Their standards are impeccable. Crunchy products contain no toxic ingredients, which they define as any ingredient known to cause harm or health hazard based on available ingredient data and research. Each ingredient actually undergoes a 30-step screening criteria for safety. All the products are gluten-free, with third-party lab testing comparable to food standards. A ton of their products are non-GMO, just look for the badge on their website, and all of their products are vegan, except for their lip oil, which contains organic beeswax from humanely sourced regenerative beekeeping. All of their products are also Leaping Bunny certified cruelty-free with no animal testing and made in the USA, with the exception of wooden pencils and accessories, which are made in American-owned factories in Germany with extremely high social, ethical, and environmental standards. And they use sustainable and environmentally conscious packaging with no plastic for primary packaging. Their products are also incredible. They make, hands down, the best mascara I have ever tried. Their Golden Light Multi-Peptide Facial Serum will make your skin glow. They also have an incredible Daylight Facial Cream and Nightlight Facial Cream, and an awesome makeup cleansing balm. You can check out their foundation as well, and their incredible sunscreen products. If you want safe sunscreen, you've got to try Crunchy. You can shop with me at crunchy.com/Melanie Avalon. That's crunchy.com/Melanie Avalon. And new customers can use the coupon code ADVOCATE10 to get 10% off eligible orders. New customers with me will also receive a gift from me after your first purchase. So again, for the ultimate in safe skincare and beauty, go to crunchy.com/Melanie Avalon and use the coupon code ADVOCATE10 for 10% off, as well as a free gift from me. For all the latest discounts, specials, and announcements from me in the world of safe skincare and clean beauty, definitely get on my email list. That's at melanieavalon.com/cleanbeauty. For all the latest text updates, just text skincare, one word, to 877-861-8318. That's the word skincare to 877-861-8318.
The 84 Olympics was a really big deal, and Mary Lou Retton and Carl Lewis were like the two stars. The main point of that is that that also beckoned in sort of the Olympic sponsorships, where Olympic athletes could get sponsored. So they couldn't be pros, but they could be sponsored by Kellogg's or sponsored by, you know, Adidas or whatever. So that became a big thing after that.
I have a question about the Cold War, if you were not going to go back to it.
Yeah, I wasn't going to.
So living during that time, were you basically worried all the time that we're going to get bombed? Like, was it like the feeling of it?
Not so much, really. Maybe 80 to 84. Like around after 84, it seemed like things were cooling off a bit. But Rocky IV was kind of made during that time. And it was Rocky versus the Russian. And it was sort of like, you know, the way that we proved we were better by making Rocky IV.
Well, but did you have like drills, like bomb drills and stuff?
I don't remember having bomb drills, but we had a lot of fire drills, and they did still have the bomb shelters. And we did know where the bomb shelters were, and we were told where to go, but that was about it. We did also have a siren in our town that would go off every Saturday at noon, like to make sure, like, hey, it's still working. And if you hear this on a nuts, it's not Saturday at noon, then you run to your shelter. But it wasn't like, I didn't really live in fear of it at all.
Okay. Yeah. I've always wondered about that.
No, because we really didn't think anything major, like we didn't expect a nuclear war, although there was some concern, but it was sort of the back of your mind. There was a really famous movie with Matthew Broderick called War Games. Did you ever see that?
No.
Where basically he hacks into the government system and by accident triggers a nuclear war.
Oh, man.
Good movie. So here we go. Where did I leave off? Okay, yes. So now we're on to the soundtrack of the 80s. So here are some iconic songs. Do you want to take a guess who some of the big artists were in the 80s?
I'm literally so bad with dates. Okay, let me guess.
You got to know at least two of the big 80s stars.
Well, I wish we were doing the 60s because I just saw a musical about the 60s.
Well, but we're doing the 80s.
Or the 70s because it was some 70s. Okay, so 80s, is that like Rolling Stones?
They're 70s.
Let me think back to the albums in my dad's. Is it Bruce Springsteen?
He was big in the 80s, but not huge. But yeah, he was big in the 80s. Yeah. Actually, he was huge in the 80s. I'll take that back.
Is it Heart?
Heart wasn't that big. They had a couple of, one-hit wonders. Here's some of the top songs. You ready? Billie Jean by Michael Jackson, 1982.
Oh, Michael Jackson. Okay, yeah.
Purple Rain and When Doves Cry by Prince. What Love Got to Do with It? That's Tina Turner. I Know What Love Is by Foreigner. Hungry Like the Wolf by Duran Duran. I Love Rock and Roll by Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. Another Brick in the Wall by Pink Floyd, which was technically 79, but through 80.
A lot of good rock.
The Police with Every Breath You Take. Bon Jovi, Live on a Prayer. And With or Without You by U2 was another one. There were a ton of one-hit wonders in the 80s. It wasn't like a lot of bands came out. And then Madonna, of course, she had a number of huge hits. Like A Virgin was huge. Cyndi Lauper had a big hit, Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
What was your favorite song?
I was into the 70s music back then for the most part, but I would say probably...
I know mine from that list.
From the list I just read?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say Billie Jean would be my favorite from that list.
My favorite from that is Living on a Prayer.
Bon Jovi. I saw him in concert.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but not a huge fan. But I did go see him in concert.
Wait, is that the same song as, or am I confusing two songs? What's the one that's like just a city boy born and raised? Is that Living on a Prayer?
Living in South Detroit. I think that's Journey.
Yeah. What was Journey then?
They were big, Journey. Journey had, all right, so they had Don't Stop Believin', Any Way You Want It.
Yeah, Don't Stop Believin', yeah.
Faithfully, Open Arms, Separate Ways, Wheel in the Sky, Lovin', Touchin', and Squeezin'.
In the 80s?
I'm pretty sure. 70s and 80s.
Yeah. Quality stuff.
Quality stuff for sure.
Don't Stop Believin', 1981.
I was really into like Led Zeppelin, the Eagles. I was into just like 70s stuff. As were a lot of my friends too. Hungry Like the Wolf was also a huge song because it was in a like super popular movie with John Cusack. All right, so top and influential TV shows in the 80s. So Dallas, which technically started in 78 but went all the way through 91, was the number one ranked show in TV for like 10 years.
I've never seen that.
It was not a good show. I didn't care for it. Full House was a big hit from 87. Okay.
And that's one that carried on into the 90s.
It did to 95.
That's what I was watching when I was really little.
Quantum Leap was a unique show. Wasn't super popular, but it did run for 4 years. And then this, you've got to know at least, The Facts of Life.
Yeah, I never watched it though.
Oh my God, I watched almost every episode. Mrs. Garrett. Who's the Boss?
Didn't watch it.
Family Ties.
I didn't watch it, but yeah.
The Love Boat.
I did not watch it. Even when it was on TV Land, I didn't watch it.
Fantasy Island.
Nope.
Murphy Brown.
Nope.
The Wonder Years.
Yes.
That went into the 90s.
Okay, yeah. Loved that show.
Cheers.
I don't think I've actually ever watched Cheers. I might have watched like one episode in TV class in film school. I know that's horrible to say.
That is like an epic show. I mean, like it was like number one for forever. And then Roseanne went into the 90s. So I'm sure you at least are aware of Roseanne, the original Roseanne. So that's just a few of the shows. The Cosby Show was also really big back then.
I watched that.
But interestingly enough, teenagers weren't watching a lot of these shows. So teenagers were watching stuff at late night, like Saturday Night Live was big in the 80s for us. We would actually watch The Honeymooners on reruns at midnight. That was a big thing that we did. That took place in the 50s with Jackie Gleason. it was black and white, but it was like, yeah, it was sort of like raunchy kind of humor. Not raunchy is the wrong word. It was old school humor, but adult double entendre kind of humor. It was basically, it was, you know what it's like? It was like, what's that show with the dog and the dad? Oh my God. The cartoon show, it's been on for like 20 years.
With the big dog?
No, the dog that talks. The dog that talks, and they live in spring. They live in the Quahog. He's always drinking beer. Peter McGriffin. It's like that show. The Honeymooners basically had a husband that was always trying to like pull a crazy scheme, and his wife was always trying to talk him out of it. And he had a best friend Norton that was always screwing up his plans. It's basically that kind of genre, like a Married with Children kind of vibe. Movies. Here we go. Number one, Oliver Stone, Wall Street, 1987. Number two, Top Gun, the original, with Tom Cruise.
It's making me feel bad. I haven't seen these. Yes, I know them, but I've not seen them.
This was sort of a niche movie that I'm surprised made the list, but They Live by John Carpenter.
Okay.
That started Roddy Piper. He was like a wrestler. And if you put these special glasses on, you could see all the subliminal messages and all these people that were aliens. So like all the leaders.
Oh, wait, no, in the movie.
Yeah, in the movie, all the leaders of the country are these aliens, and humans don't know it because they can't see them. But this guy gets a pair of these special glasses, he can see them, and chaos ensues. Pretty cool. If you haven't seen it, it's worth watching. The Breakfast Club was massive. I mean,
okay, finally one I've seen.
Everybody saw it. I mean, everybody talked about it, everybody watched it. It was, you know, it was the movie.
Which is really interesting because it's just a lot of talking. Not just, you know, but it's not just a lot of talking, but.
Well, you know, it really spoke to, like, it spoke to everybody because you had the jock, you had the burnout, you had the popular girl, you had the not popular girl. And I think everybody took away something from it.
Everybody felt seen.
Yeah, they could relate to one or more of the characters. So, and it was well written, well done. Yeah, it was good. And had an all-star cast. It's great. Great soundtrack, too.
I need to watch it again.
Then comes Scarface.
I have seen that in film school, I think.
Yes, you probably did. That's probably required material. This movie, I'm surprised made it, but I think it's because of its sort of ongoing theme was RoboCop, the original.
Oh, okay. I actually never watched that.
Then Return of the Jedi in 83.
Oh, okay. Finally, yes. Obviously, I've seen that.
The Terminator, 1984.
Terminator.
The very original with Arnold.
I think I've only seen like one of the other Terminators, and it terrifies me because I am very scared of robots.
They're coming, Mel.
They're like the scariest thing to me. We've probably talked about this.
Yeah, the robots are coming. There's a terrifying Black Mirror episode called Metalhead, and it's about these drone dogs that like are programmed to attack, but they're solar powered, so they like basically like they never run out of power. And if you shoot one, it alerts all the other dogs to come, and then like you get surrounded by hundreds of these robots. It's crazy. Black Mirror, Metalhead, crazy.
Well, it's really unfortunate that I have this fear of robots, because out of all the things, like when we did the episode recently on like cryptids, like all these really scary, you know, legends of monsters in different states. Out of all the things, the thing that's probably most likely to happen is, yeah, like robots showing up outside. Like that's definitely going to happen. So perfect.
I'm sure I've mentioned this because I always bring it up, but iRobot is one of my all-time favorite movies.
Have I seen iRobot? I'm pretty sure I have. That's with Will Smith, right?
Yeah, and a very realistic portrayal of both robotics and AI interacting, and it goes horribly wrong.
Yeah.
Another big famous movie was The Gremlins.
Okay, yeah, that's one you talk about a lot, right?
Yeah, I talk about The Gremlins. I love that movie. Crazy. And then the other one I talk about that's sort of related because it came out in like that same time frame was Goonies. That was like, I think boys really liked it because it was all about adventure and treasure and these kids getting into trouble. It was kind of cool. Rocky IV, which I mentioned earlier, that was the Rocky goes to beat up the Soviet Union guy. And that's just a few of the really, you know, influential ones. And then here's one that I'd be surprised if you hadn't even at least heard of. I was not allowed to see it, but back then they didn't really care if you saw an R-rated movie. So I got to go see it, which was Risky Business with Tom Cruise.
Okay. I can see the cover in my head.
Oh my God. I think I have 80% of the lines memorized. I have a trig midterm in the morning and I'm being chased by Guido, the killer pimp.
Yeah. Did not see it.
Do you know the premise of the whole movie?
No.
Okay. His mother goes away. His mother and father go away on a trip and he's trying to get into Princeton. And his mom's like, don't do anything to this house. Make sure you get schedule your interview with the Princeton person. He's going to be here on Tuesday. But anyway, he ends up calling a working woman. She comes over and then they decide to run a little brothel out of his house while his parents are away.
Oh, that's funny.
And so he's making a fortune because all his high school friends are showing up, but his house is getting slowly destroyed. Guido the pimp is pissed because all of his girls are working for Joel. Joel's father left him a Porsche, which they drove. Anyway, so long story short, the whole house is destroyed. The Princeton guy comes. He gets into Princeton because, you know, he gives the guy a free, you know. So he gets into Princeton. His parents are all happy. He puts the whole house together 1 minute before his parents get in the house. And his mom notices one minor, teeny tiny micro crack in her crystal egg that was on the fireplace. It's hilarious. Anyway, great movie. Watch it if you haven't seen it.
I think we talked about this as well on a different episode, but I feel like kids can't really even do stuff like when their parents are gone anymore because everybody has cameras.
Yeah, we have mentioned this in the past. I do almost feel sorry for this generation because it's like...
Yeah, they're like missing out.
There's no mayhem or mischief, really. Like, the cops are called immediately. Everyone's got Ring cameras and, like, you know, ringing someone's doorbell and hiding in the bushes when you were 10. Like, that was hilarious. But now it's like, you know, very much frowned upon. Like, even little things are just sort of no-nos. You're right.
Yeah. Like, how do you get away with... I did have people over once when my family was out of town, but I was like I never threw a raging party. I'm pretty sure my brother did though.
I mean, on the weekends, my best friend and I, John, would walk like across, we would get on the, you ever see the movie Stand By Me?
No.
All right. Well, there's a scene where these four kids are walking on the train tracks. So they go across a train trestle, which is like a big bridge over a river. We would walk on the tracks because it was the most direct way to get to the video arcade. But it was like 4 miles on the railroad tracks. And then you'd have to go over this like 200 foot.
You walked 4 miles?
4 miles.
To the video arcade?
Each way, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It had a video arcade. It had a deli with a diner rather with great milkshakes. There was a bowling alley. So we would walk there. A great pizzeria. So we would walk there. We'd get a couple of slices of pizza. We'd go into the video arcade game. We'd play video games for a while. We'd get a milkshake and maybe some, you know, Doritos for the trip home. And then we'd all walk home. But this was like, we would just be gone walking across the train trestle every Saturday. Our parents didn't even ask where we were going. Like, we would just go. I mean, we were 200 feet off the ground on an old broken down train trestle.
Things have changed.
They have changed a lot. But it was so much fun. We had so much fun doing it.
So, okay.
Toys, super popular toys. The Transformers were a big thing.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you probably have heard of this next toy because there were actual riots in stores for them over in Christmas called the Cabbage Patch Kids.
Yeah. That was before my time, but I am, yeah. For me, it was Beanie Babies. That was the rioting.
So these would be like the equivalent of the American Girl doll sort of, you know, thing that happened. Because you got a unique adoption certificate. They each had an individual name and they had like a personality profile. And then so parents were literally fighting in the malls over these cabbage patch dolls.
Oh, man. Yeah.
We also had the super cool water toys where you would press these buttons and try and get these little rings to go on top of these little sticks through water pressure. Oh, it was phenomenal.
What is it? Because I'm getting a little bit of a flashback. So, what was it?
So it's like this clear cylinder, rectangular shape, but it's rounded at the edges. So imagine like a 6-inch tall by 4-inch wide plastic container that has a bunch of these little rings, or sometimes they would have a basketball in it. And then at the bottom, you had these buttons. And when you press the buttons...
Oh, yeah, and it pushes it up, and you try to get it into the...
It would push the rings.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then you try to land the rings on the hooks, or you try to shoot the basketball in the hoop. They were so pathetic. I can't even believe I asked for one of those things.
Yep.
Radio controlled cars were all the rage. So if you could get one, like that was like, they were super expensive and rare, but if you could get one, man, everybody was like, oh, that's so cool. Then came the video game revolution, starting with really Atari, the 2600, the 2600. That was a big deal. Nintendo came out. My Little Pony.
For the video games, I learned all about the history of video games when I read The Simulation Hypothesis and interviewed Riz Firk that we had on the show.
Any interesting factoids you want to throw at us?
I mean, because he just goes through the history of video games and how it predicts us entering like a simulation, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at what I played, like when I played Asteroids, it was literally like, looked like a mouse arrow key on your screen. That was your ship. And then it had these outlines of that looked like amorphous shapes, but all, you know, straight lines that were the asteroids. And then you had little round white, and everything was black and white. And then you would shoot these little balls out of your little spacecraft. That was the whole game. It was really bad. They ultimately upgraded to color, and then you got Pac-Man. But nowadays, you're playing games that are so realistic, it's crazy.
If we do 90s, I can talk about all the 90s games, because when did Oregon Trail come out?
Oh, that was out in the 80s. I played that on my Apple IIe.
Dun, 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 dun.
The Rubik's Cube was invented in 1980 and sold 100 million units in 1982 at the peak of its popularity.
So this is funny. I was at my parents' townhome, or it's complicated who all lives in there, but I was hanging out with my brother and his wife and my mom and my sister. My brother taught himself how to solve the Rubik's Cube. And I was thinking, I feel like that's a really nice skill to have. Like, I wish I had taught myself that when I was little, or I was thinking, like, if I had kids now, ever, if we were like in line at Disney World, I'd be like, okay, here's a Rubik's Cube, learn it. You know, like I would make my kids learn this skill. Cause I think it's a nice party trick.
I was always so jealous of the kids that could do it. And like, there were some kids that could do it in seconds, like 10. I mean, how do you do that? Like, it would take me hours to get two or three sides. And I'm like, I don't think I ever actually solved the whole thing. I think I got really close once and peeled the sticker off and put it on. I was like, I'm done.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I never solved it from like trying to solve it myself. But apparently once you know you can learn how to solve it. It's all like equations. It's all like there's ways to solve it.
I mean, I'm sure there's a way for me to figure that out, but
he said there's like 7 steps, and like you learn the 7 steps, and then you can solve it from any place.
7 steps. All right. Well, maybe I'll look into it.
Yeah. I just wish I had learned that. Would have been helpful. I guess I could learn it now.
It would have been very helpful. That is for sure.
So, okay. Rubik's Cube,
Atari. We also had the Teenage Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
And the Speak and Spell.
The what? The Slip and Slide?
Speak and Spell.
Oh.
It was an educational tool using speech synthesis so that you could improve your vocabulary.
Okay. Not on the computer.
Last but not least were the G.I. Joe action figures.
Yes. A lot of boy toys. The Little Pony one, though.
Little Pony and Care Bears. That was girls. All right. Then we get into iconic technology and video games. So we had Pac-Man, which was a cultural phenom, along with Space Invaders. Those two dominated the market. Then came Donkey Kong and knocked them out of their number one spot. Now, these weren't necessarily your home versions. These were like the video arcade games. Like if you would go to a restaurant, sometimes they would have a table version where you could sit down at the table and play Pac-Man while you ate. So you would look down at the table, and under the table was a Pac-Man game. And they all took quarters. And initially, every game was 25 cents, but over time, then it was 50 cents, and then they got up to a dollar, and I was like, okay, I'm done playing video games. Super Mario Brothers, that was a game changer.
Mm-hmm. That carried on.
Mm-hmm. The Legend of Zelda.
I never played it, but it carried on.
And then we had, in the arcade, we had Missile Command, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, Defender. God, I remember playing Defender. And then there's this game that's not on my list, but I remember it was this Q-Bert. Remember Q-Bert? Probably not. This stupid little orange thing, you would bounce on different squares. But by far, Space Invaders, Pac-Man, and Donkey Kong, like they kind of brought video games on the scene. Like that's what built the arcades.
I feel like the only arcade game that really, really carried on was Pac-Man. I mean, Donkey Kong did, but it became like Nintendo and stuff like that compared to like, because you're talking about like in an arcade. Yeah, Pac-Man was fun.
And Pac-Man held its, Ms. Pac-Man came out. That was a pretty big game too.
What did I play it on? Did I play it on, what was I playing it on when I was playing it? Because we didn't go to.
Probably Atari.
Was it on a Nintendo Game Boy, a Game Boy? I think it was on a Game Boy maybe.
Could have been on Nintendo. Could have been.
Game Boys, those were the days.
Yeah. The Game Boy was the portable gaming system. People love that. That was transformative.
Yeah, that was, I was obsessed with that, man. Yeah.
All right. Into sporting events.
And I got Game Boy Color.
I never had a Game Boy. I was deprived.
Thrilling announcement, friends. My EMF blocking product line is finally here. And I'm going to tell you how you can get 10% off. Did you know that EMFs are considered a type 2B carcinogen by the IARC? They are linked to so many health issues, including headaches, migraines, fatigue, and even potential fertility issues. Thankfully, there are a lot of ways to reduce your exposure, and one of the best ways is to not use Bluetooth AirPods. And also, do not put your phone by your head. In fact, did you know that if you look in your iPhone, go to the legal section, and then RF exposure, Apple literally suggests that you use hands-free options like speakerphone, headphones, or other similar accessories to reduce your exposure to EMFs. Yes, it says this in your iPhone. And here's the other thing. Even wired headphones, being digital, can conduct EMFs into your head. That's why I made Avalon X EMF-free air tubes. They're basically like your normal wired headphones, but they turn into analog closer to your ear, so it stops transmission of EMFs into your head. I'm launching with black ones and rose gold. You can use adapters to make them fit any phone. And the reason this launch took so long, we're talking actually years, is because I was so neurotic on getting good sound quality. I cannot even tell you how many different prototypes I tried, but we finally have them and you can get them now. Go to AvalonXEMF.us and use the code Melanie Avalon to get 10% off. That's AvalonXEMF.us with the coupon code Melanie Avalon to get 10% off. That link will actually redirect to my partner's website at Shield Your Body, and that coupon code Melanie Avalon will get you 10% off site-wide for all of their EMF blocking products, including my air tubes. AvalonXEMF.us with the coupon code Melanie Avalon for 10% off.
Sporting events of the 1980s. So the biggest one of the 1980s, which happened in 1980. Can you guess what the most profound sports moment of the 80s was in 1980?
So pretty much equal to my lack of knowledge about historical event dates is sports. Let me think. I can tell you the 90s, but 80. No, I have no idea.
Disney movie about it?
Oh, okay. Okay, we're back.
Not an animated one.
Remember the Titans?
No, it was Miracle on Ice.
Oh.
This is when the U.S. men's hockey team, which was made of all amateur hockey players, primarily from Boston University and Minnesota University, all in their 20s, were going up against the undefeated Soviet team that had never lost a game. And in the prelims, like weeks before, the Russians beat the Americans 15-2. The Americans ended up winning in 1980 in the last seconds of the match by a guy who was injured and had to be pulled out. But he came back and basically skated on one leg and made an amazing pass to his teammate who shot the winning goal. And that was the Miracle on Ice, the men beating the Russians. It was shocking. People were going crazy. I remember being in a restaurant with my parents and the entire restaurant was around these old square TVs. Watching this game, hockey match, and everybody went bananas. The bartender was giving out free drinks. It was complete chaos. I was just eating my chocolate cake and having a blast. It was watching the adults get wasted.
I think I told you I've only been to one hockey game.
Hockey's something you got to love, I think, to go, but it's fun. It's fun to watch it, I think.
Well, because I went in, I didn't realize they like fight.
There's a lot of fighting. It's toned down. I mean, in the 70s, these guys would beat the tar out of each other. In the 80s, same thing. 90s, they started getting, some regulations, but they still, yeah. I mean, in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, hockey was basically like you would expect a fight to break out.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Because I just remember I went when I was in college with a friend and there was a fight. And I was like, what is happening? And he was like, oh, yeah, this is what they do. And I was like, what? Nobody ever told me this.
It's honestly the only sport that you're allowed to have an actual fist fight on the ice and like not get thrown out of the game. It's crazy. We talked about the Olympics and then, okay, so we also had the Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Lakers versus Celtics, NBA back and forth. That was a huge deal. Michael Jordan was coming on the scene at that same time in 85, and he brought with him the Air Jordans, which transformed the Nike shoes, which literally transformed branding to a whole different level. To this day, remains one of the most influential sneakers ever made.
Yeah. And the beginning of the downfall of our foot health.
Yes, true enough.
I did an episode on this literally this week for my biohacking podcast.
Was that with the spreading your toes shoes?
It was not with Paluva. It was with Bevo Barefoot.
Gotcha. There was the Chicago Bears fiasco, I'll call it, with the refrigerator Perry, who was this giant lineman who weighed 350 pounds. And they gave him that. They don't usually allow the offensive lineman to hold the ball, but they gave it to Refrigerator Perry, and he plowed through for one of the winning touchdowns, or made it bend the wing. But what made it so crazy is the whole team did a song called the Super Bowl Shuffle, and it was like these were the early days of rap, so it was a rap version, and it was embarrassingly good. It was so embarrassing and so bad, it was good. You couldn't help but watch it.
Yeah.
Doug Flutie, who became a professional football player briefly and then played in Canada, but at the time was Boston College's like most memorable, iconic players. He was a very short quarterback, so he was always underestimated. And he threw a Hail Mary, 70 yards, caught in the end zone to win the game, to win the championship. And it was just like literally the most crazy pass I've ever seen. To this day, it ranks up there as like one of the greatest touchdown passes of all time.
You were watching?
I think I saw it in a rerun. I don't think I was watching, but I did watch the whole game in like subsequent years. All right. We're going to cruise through these. These are the technological advances of the 80s that have and continue to have impact on us today. So we've got personal computers. The first IBM PC came out in 1981 and the Apple Macintosh in 84, which obviously completely transformed the way we work, etc. Then the Sony Walkman, which was the Walkman to have, that was huge. It was the first portable cassette player, and it revolutionized how people listened to music anywhere, anytime. Of course, the iPod then came along, and then the iPhone. But the original way people listened was on cassettes on the Sony Walkman.
And then there was portable CD players, which I had. I had a bright blue one.
So the CD came out in the late 80s, and the portable ones, they came out in the 90s.
Yeah, I had one of those. It was pretty awesome. I can see it now, blue with my yellow Jackie Velasquez CD in there, just spinning around.
You know, I never bought one of those because they always were skipping and bouncing and just drove me crazy.
I probably still have it, honestly.
You know what? You should keep it because you never know. I had probably 200 CDs when streaming came out, and I was so peeved. And then, you probably don't remember this. Do you remember Napster?
Oh yeah. That was like my time.
So So at the time it was like in the gray area of whether it was legal or not. So I downloaded 100,000 songs onto a hard drive, and then people were like, oh my God, this is illegal. You can't do it. So I threw the hard drive out, 'cause I'm like, I'm not dealing with this. I should have kept that hard drive, 'cause I had 100,000 songs from the 40s to the 90s.
Wow. Well, not really. 'Cause now you can just get it all on Spotify.
Yeah, that's true. But it's nice that, to own it yourself, you know?
I kept all my CDs and my DVDs.
I really wish I kept my DVDs because now like movies they'll tweak things and change it. And I'm like, that wasn't in the original DVD.
Well, I was thinking about it because I have this like DVD, you know, the thing where it's like the DVDs and it turns from the Sharper Image. It's like motorized.
Sharper Image, that was huge in the 80s.
Yeah, Sharper Image was my place.
Yep, that... Late 80s, early 90s, that was the place to go.
I feel like my DVD display, though, on my Sharper Image thing is like a time capsule of you know, it's all the movies I watched growing up that I had, you know, it's my DVD collection. So it's sentimental. I'm never going to like watch any of those DVDs again, but I can't throw it away.
I know. I still have some of mine, but I literally had, I don't know, 200, 300 DVDs. And one day I was like, what am I going to do with these? And I threw them out and now I'm so mad. But you live and learn. All right. So there was the battle of VHS versus Betamax. So VHS was the old school way you watch movies before DVDs. There was this format war. Betamax was better, but VHS was easier. And so people went with VCRs and VHS, which won. Cable television became a thing. Like, people started getting cable. Now, when I grew up watching TV, we had 13 channels. That was it. That was your selection. And at 1 a.m., they played the national anthem, and then every channel went to static, and there was nothing on.
You were roughing it.
Think about that, you kids out there. No on-demand streaming.
Now I don't watch anything because I spend an hour trying to decide what to watch, and then like the hour's gone by, and it's like, oh, well, too late now. Guess I'll watch this tomorrow.
Sometimes you can get, like, I'm like, should I try this? Should I do this? I am definitely a binge watcher, and I can't watch commercials anymore. I can't do it.
I just don't watch them. I'm usually working while watching stuff anyways, so I just...
I don't watch TV anymore. I only watch things that are streaming, either on YouTube, Netflix, or Prime Video. That's it.
Yeah, mine's all... I mean, it's like, but it'll be a TV series, but streaming. You know, I don't watch anything live. Do people watch live TV?
Netflix is going to start inserting ads at some point. I don't know if this is true, but I just heard this on one of my news podcasts. And if they do that, I am going to cancel my Netflix because I just can't.
They'll probably try. Everybody will freak out. They'll stop and then they'll try again and keep it.
I think that's a really good guess.
That's my guess of the timeline of what's going to go down.
So the internet, the early days of the internet, which was known at that point called ARPANET, because it was being created by DARPA, and that was just beginning to expand in the 80s. Digital music and synthesizers became a thing, which I'm not a fan of, but they were there. Microsoft 1.0 launched, so that was cool. And let's see, what else do we have? The first digital cameras were mass-produced in 1988. And get this, the medical resonance imaging, otherwise known as the MRI,
MRI.
Yeah, that came out in the 80s.
I didn't realize MRIs, wait, yeah. MRIs, it's not detrimental to your health, radiation.
No.
Yeah, I had that all wrong.
Yeah, just magnetic.
Or like CT scans.
Anything with radiation, not good. All right, into some societal and social trends. So let's see. Fashion of the day was horrible. Oh my God.
Okay, I was having this conversation. Wait, yeah, I was having this conversation with actually when I interviewed the Josh Holland at Bebo Barefoot, because we're talking about the theme for the costume dance party at the biohacking conference this year. And last year it was 80s. And I was saying 80s is the one decade I just can't. Like, I cannot make myself look attractive in 80s attire. It is so hideous.
I really don't know how you look good in the 80s. The hairstyles for women was the puffed up super hairsprayed look, which is terrible, right? And a lot of guys had mullets. Like, a mullet was a thing. It was insane.
It's so unattractive. I would never have an 80s theme party.
Then you had parachute pants, which were like, oh God, which were like the most, they were like fake leather pants, but you sweat 10 times more. They were horrible.
Were the shoulder, because I remember in the early 90s, like shoulder pads, they kind of like started getting phased out in the 90s, but they were still a little bit present. Those are so hit, like on women.
Yeah, they look like linebackers.
Think about like the female form. How does this like create attraction?
Well, do you want to know why they started doing that?
I mean, I can guess it's probably because like women want to be more, you know, in the workplace and stuff.
They wanted to appear like men, which is kind of ridiculous when you think about it. Like, no, like you have different attributes and different body shape. You know, don't put on shoulder pads to look like a dude. Like,
literally, oh my gosh, I'm just thinking about the concept. Literally something to like give you these big masculine shoulders. So ridiculous.
And like, you watch shows from the 90s, like even like the like Cheers, where Christy Alley was there, she was always wearing blazers with these giant shoulder pads. And I'm like, that's not making you look better.
Because blazers can look cute and like pantsuits and stuff can look cute. Like don't, yeah, no.
Yep. Acid wash jeans, that was a big thing. And then bright neon colors were another big thing.
I do like neon.
So a lot of that. And then there was like the preppy look. So that like Docksiders and like polo shirts were kind of popular. You know what Docksiders are? Not the pants, the little like the loafers, the little shoes, penny loafers.
When I was trying to figure out how I was going to look like sexy 80s attire for the dance party last year, people were saying, and this is what I went with. Now I don't remember what it is. Was there some like club in the 80s that was famous? They're like, you should dress like that. And then you can dress like in like
Studio 57. Are you thinking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What is that? What is Studio 57?
It was more 70s disco stuff, but it did bleed into the 80s.
Bleed into the 80s. Okay, so I went that route.
And there were some cool like disco gowns that you could look good in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was the route I went. I was like, okay, this is like the one thing I can maybe approach.
The route I would go if I were a woman, I would go for like the headband body suit of like the workout spandex, the full body spandex suits they wore in the 80s.
Yeah, I don't like spandex.
Well, I'm saying I'd go either with like the disco gown. That's probably the better way to go, or the other, or that way. For a guy, I guess the only thing would be like the jock, sort of the jock look. That's what I would go with. Maybe the preppy look, but you don't look good in the 80s. You just can't. Although the 90s weren't a whole lot better because everything was so baggy. Pants were baggy. Shirts were baggy. Everything was just like three sizes too big.
Yeah. 80s, not about it. And then like I said, like shoulder pads, early 90s, not about it. But then 90s got kind of cute with like bell bottoms and stuff.
The 50s, it was a very conservative sort of era, the say no to drugs thing, right? Which we'll talk about. And so I think the one like outlet was like these crazy hairstyles, I guess. But, and then the 90s were very 70s-esque with the music, the grunge music, with the clothing choices. It was very flower child time. So yeah, that's why I like the 90s.
I had really cute clothes when I was little in the 90s. Like the bell bottoms, shopping at Limited 2. When you say the acid jeans, was that where like the jeans were?
They looked like the denim had been leached almost. They had like spots of darkness and then spots of lightness. They weren't cool either. And then Sasson jeans and Sargentio jeans. They had all these like fashion designer jeans that came out. So cool.
Oh man. I just typed in jeans and I found a really cool pair of multicolored jeans. Okay.
MTV comes on the scene and changes the very essence of how we watched and listened to music. Also the first reality show called The Real World on MTV. That was a big deal. MTV was like, everybody was watching MTV. And then they started doing like TV shows. I think Beavis and Butthead started out on MTV, I'm pretty sure. But like there were some songs and bands that had great videos, but the songs weren't that great. But because the video was great, the song did fantastic. So MTV had a profound impact on music in general, because if you didn't have a good video, it didn't matter. The song would have to be really great if you didn't have a good video. I remember A-ha did the Take on Me with the first graphic and live interaction video, and people were like mesmerized by it.
Yeah, I was not allowed to watch MTV, and then it was pretty much on its way out.
Yeah, MTV died, quit, like it lasted a good 7-8 years, and then it just sort of seemed to like die and devolve.
Yeah.
Dieting and exercise was a big thing. Think you can name a few crazy exercise fads in the 80s?
Yeah. The Stairmaster.
Stairmaster for sure.
The jiggling thing.
No, the jiggling thing was out. Jane Fonda doing her home workout aerobics was big.
Okay.
Who else would think of the iconic Weight Watchers guy? What did he do?
Oh, I don't know.
Jazzercise.
Oh, okay.
Richard Simmons, man. He was Jazzercise, man. Do you remember the Solo Flex with the rubber bands? It was like this weight thing, but it used rubber, like these horrible rubber bands. It was terrible.
No.
And then you had really, really tight high shorts that men wore, really very, I'd say, little too high on the thigh.
I can see that visual. Yep.
Tube socks were big and you wore them all the way up to your back of your calves. Leg warmers for women, leotards. That was a big thing. Some of the diets were Weight Watchers. Then they had the single food fads. One was the pineapple diet, which made you sexy. Then there was the cabbage soup diet, the Beverly Hills diet, the Weight Watchers revolution, etc. And this is really when fat became like everyone was talking about fat and not eating fat and cholesterol. And this was the peak of the don't eat fat, don't eat fat. And guess what? We got fatter because they replaced all that fat with high fructose corn syrup. Yes. Awesome. Madonna also had a huge effect on the fashion of the time. Women, I don't know if you've ever seen her in her early days, but she had these short skirts over leggings, and she had these like necklaces. She wore like 10 necklaces and rubber bracelets up and down both arms. So she kind of, and then she had this really famous iconic leather jacket with a pyramid on the back. So that was a big deal.
Actually, so Josh, who I interviewed, he was Madonna's personal trainer for 4 years.
What part of her career?
More recently, like pretty recently, actually. He's young.
She's done something to her face that doesn't seem right. I don't know if that's surgery or something, but something's going on.
Yeah, I feel like that happens a lot with celebrities.
Well, Burt Reynolds, he had some really bad work done. So all in all, I was really surprised to learn a few things, like just how influential the 80s was in so many things. Like we had one of the worst stock market crashes in history in 87. We had the right economics. We had the just say no to drugs thing, which was like, this is your brain. They put an egg in a frying pan. This is your brain on drugs. That was a big thing. I mean, they terrified me to the point that I thought if I smoked a joint, I was going to die. I was that scared. Like I wouldn't even, if there was a dude anywhere near me, I would just freak out. Like I don't want anything to do with that.
Yeah, and that's something that comes up a lot in my biohacking show because it really impeded the forward movement of the potential, you know, healing effects of like psychedelic therapy and stuff.
And it's still to this day having an impact, but it's getting, at least now there's some research happening, but it's still like why marijuana was a schedule. It's still federally scheduled one drug, which is ridiculous.
And like psychedelics, there's all this incredible research on curing like PTSD and depression and all these mental health issues. And
yeah, psilocybin, LSD have in the right clinical settings can do amazing things. It was political and monetary, right? It was about money. It was about three things: money, control, and politics, for sure. There was a war on drugs, but I think the war was really to prevent people from getting things that would impinge on someone's profits.
And to be clear, major problems with cocaine, heroin, things like that. But I'm talking about like psychedelics.
Yes, agreed with the cocaine, the crack epidemic of the 80s. That was really bad. I remember them talking about all that stuff. Here's a few other things just that I want to just mention. E.T. was also an instrumental, like changing movie. Raiders of the Lost Ark was huge. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, The Shining, Die Hard. Those were all big.
Oh, these are all the movies I know.
Yeah. But really, I mean, in general, like, there were so many technological things that came out in the 80s that persisted into today. So much of the sort of political landscape changed dramatically for a long time. And from an economic standpoint, that was the decade when the middle class really started to get squeezed and the economics of the 80s really were horrible for most of it. And it led to this sort of chronic credit debt thing, because that's when credit cards and like credit became like the norm. And so it really, the 80s was profound in so many different ways, from all these historical events, you know, and then on top of that, all of these modern things that were really invented and created in the 80s from a cultural perspective. So it was a very impactful decade. It seemed sort of like a bland decade, but when you dig into it, it really shaped the decades to come.
Doesn't seem bland to me. Like when I think 80s, I think like rock and roll and like a crazy time. And I don't know. That's just what I think.
It was a more conservative time, but because it was so conservative, the teenage world was sort of like, that was punk rock. And you had, you know, heavy metal. So you had punk rock, heavy metal, disco, where they were all kind of competing against each other. Everyone did everything live. You know, you went to roller rinks, you went to bowling alleys, like you hung out with your friends. Going to the mall and just hanging out, that was a thing.
That carried on through my like middle school.
That's what kids did. Like they were outside or they were hanging out. You were never in your house. Like you were always out somewhere. And some of the crazy things, like I was telling you, like we would have bottle rocket fights, but we would actually like get tubes and launch bottle rockets at each other. Like that's insane. But that's what we did. We rode bikes. There was nobody wore a helmet ever on their bike ever. So no helmets, no seatbelts. You know, it's amazing we lived.
Well, here we are.
Yeah, but I mean, I got to say, I really loved growing up in the 80s. I loved the way, you know, the freedom that you had, to your point. I kind of enjoyed a lot of the entertainment that was cutting edge at the time because it went from like very bland 60s, 70s movies to very cool sci-fi adventures in the 80s. And I'm a sci-fi guy, so the 80s was good for me.
I learned so much. Now I feel cultured now. I feel like I can need to do this for every decade, so then I can feel like I can...
Well, you could take on the 90s, and together we can take on the 2000s.
Yeah. 90s, like I said, 90s are going to be... They were when I was much younger, but I still remember all of it, I think. I mean, most of it.
The 90s was one of my favorite decades, and then like 2000 to 2007 was really good too.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we can do one that we weren't here for, you know, like the 50s.
That'd be cool. I'll talk to my dad. He's a 50s sort of guy.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I had a blast.
Super fun. Feel like I was there, even though I was not. So listeners, friends, definitely let us know what you think about the episode. You can write a brief review on Apple Podcasts, and that will enter you to win a bottle of my Avalon X Magnesium 8. And as a brief reminder, this week's winner is Nelly JC16. So Nelly, take a screenshot of your review in your app and send it to contact@mindblownshow.com. And yeah, I think that's all the things. Anything from you, Scott?
Just my last question, Melanie, which is, if you were the captain of the Enterprise, what would your catchphrase be to go into warp speed? Like, you know how Picard said engage, right? And then the guy in the new Star Trek series says punch it. What would your phrase be?
I think I would say like something about like, let's sparkle. Something like that. Bring on the sparkles.
Bring on the sparkle. I would say something like, bring it on. I like that. Or probably just hit it. I think I might just say hit it.
Yeah. I like bring on the sparkles.
I like that they've made that a thing now, because each captain now has like their own thing.
Their own thing. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Well, this is super fun. And I will talk to you next week.
All right, Mel. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for joining us on the Mind Blown podcast. Don't worry, your brain can store about 1 million gigabytes of data. That's enough memory to record continuous TV shows for over 300 years. That said, psychology suggests that your memory is actually just your memory of your last memory, leading to a process called memory distortion, where your memories change over time. If you're enjoying the show, remember to subscribe and write a brief review in Apple Podcasts, and definitely let us know what you find most mind-blowing.